Major funding for Only a Game comes from Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals worldwide. Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. The only thing we can say for sure about the 2011 NFL season is that the New Orleans Saints will not go undefeated. They lost to the Packers 42-34 on Thursday night. With high hopes and grand possibilities, all the other teams will open tomorrow and on Monday. Joining me now to separate the contenders from the pretenders is Greg Doyle of CBSSports.com. Greg, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Some say that Thursday night's Packers-Saints game was a preview of the NFC Championship game in January. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely could be. Both teams are going to go to the playoffs, for sure. Both teams are going to go deep, I would guess. The only team in their way is the Philadelphia Eagles. Between those three, that's two of them, for sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Eagles. They extended the contract of quarterback Michael Vick. This contract could go 6 years. It could pay him as much as $100 million. So, who says the correctional system doesn't rehabilitate anybody?
That was the smallest $100 million contract ever. Because, first, the terms of that contract are not sincere. The agent put it out, and it looks good. $100 million is not anywhere close to that. Second, bankruptcy is garnishing almost $20 million of whatever he makes.
Mm-hmm.
Third, his financial people are socking away most of it so he doesn't screw up again. He's living on about $300,000 a year as a stipend. And while that's a lot of money for 99% of us, it's peanuts for a guy who just signed a $100 million contract. Anyway, he keeps calling me for some lunch money.
Does Vic have enough help to get the Eagles back to the Super Bowl for the first time since 2005?
Oh, yes, sir. The Eagles were already so explosive on offense, and they added the Giants, Steve Smith, at receiver. They added the Dolphins, Ronnie Brown, at running back, and they already had Deshaun Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Brent Seelig, a great tight end, LeSean McCoy, running back. Their offense is crazy good. They're loaded. They were called the dream team in tongue-in-cheek for a reason this offseason. They really are loaded.
A quick glance at the CBS Sports NFL Power Rankings would indicate that the Patriots and the Steelers are the current AFC favorites. That seem about right to you?
You know, we could have been doing this show in 2003 and you would have said the same thing to me. But more than ever, yes, because Peyton Manning is out for an extended period of time, which means no Colts. And the rest of the AFC South is so bad, the Colts might win that division anyway, but they're still not going to be any good. The AFC West is a joke. What does that leave? It leaves the Patriots and Steelers, and it leaves the Ravens and Jets.
On Thursday, we learned that Colts quarterback Peyton Manning had undergone his second neck surgery this year. There's now speculation he might not be back this season. So how do the Colts do without him?
Well, I know I just said that they could win that division because it's really bad. Peyton Manning might win the MVP this year without ever suiting up, because when the Colts go 2-14, we're all going to say, wow, there's nobody more valuable than Peyton Manning.
Many pundits insist that San Diego has what it takes to go all the way this year, but the Chargers always seem to lose their spark early or late or somewhere in between. Why has this talented team been so unsuccessful recently?
Norv and Turner. He was a great assistant coach, is bad to mediocre at best head coach. If he was a sous chef, he'd cut up your carrots into beautiful little pieces. But if he's actually making your entire meal, you ought to politely get up and go to Wendy's.
Now that the lockout is resolved, the season's underway, some time has passed, what would you like to have seen the two sides accomplish that they didn't get done?
I would like to see the retired players get a lot better treatment. They tried to sue to get their way in, and it seemed like, wow, this is going to cause some problems. The retired players are suing to get their way in. This is really going to take a long time. Well, they just kind of got drop by the wayside, and those guys still don't have the treatment and the pensions and all that they should have. Yeah, they have stuff. They don't have enough stuff because those guys are the walking dead at age 50, and I feel bad for them.
The major post-lockout storyline had to do with the relatively short amount of time players had to learn their playbooks and short-time coaches had to work with them in general. Will we see subpar play during the opening weeks of the season, or maybe some more razzle-dazzle as broken plays don't develop?
Look, Thursday night had two very complex teams playing, complex offenses, the Packers and the Saints, and they combined for almost 1,000 yards of offense and something like 75 points. if we see a better game than that all year, we're in for a treat. It didn't seem to do those teams any harm at all, and the Packers specifically did not get together for off-season unofficial workouts. So the answer to that question, I would say right now, is no. Unless we're talking about the Bengals. The Bengals are going to be lousy whether they have a long preseason or not.
I was going to ask about the Bengals next. Their head coach, Marvin Lewis, has insisted that they will improve upon last year's 4-12 record. That doesn't seem too much to shoot for, does it?
That's why Marvin Lewis is so motivational as a coach. Next year, 5-11, baby. Look, Andy Dalton is their rookie quarterback, and he might be good someday in the year 2014, but their receivers are young and not good. The good running back they have is between prison stints, and so is half their defense now that I think about it. Did I mention UGG with the Bengals?
Tony Romo, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, known to some in Texas at least as America's team, missed most of last season with a broken collarbone. The Cowboys wound up 6-10. Romo's healthy now. He's back on the field. Will Dallas fare better this year?
Oh, sure. They'll be the best 6-10 team in football. That's what everybody loves is the Cowboys are great, and we're going to write about the Cowboys until you're sick of reading about them. Even if they are 6-10, we're going to make them sound like the best darn 6-10 team ever. They're the kind of team that Marvin Lewis can aspire to and say, one day, fellas, we're going to be 6-10 also.
All right, Greg, we've talked about some of the premier teams in the league, and we've talked about some of the teams who are going to have a lot of problems. Have you got a kind of tweener in there somewhere, a dark horse that could surprise everybody this season?
Yeah, I'm really bearish or bullish or whatever means good and high on. I'm high on Detroit, as big of a joke as they were under Matt Millen. They've got a former number one draft pick, Matthew Stafford, who's really good and only getting better, young and getting better. Charles Johnson at receiver is incredible. Jahvid Best at running back is healthy. And then they've got the best pair of defensive tackles in Sue and Nick Fairley since the Dallas Cowboys had Randy White and whoever played next to Randy White. So they're going to be really good.
Greg Doyle is a national columnist for CBSSports.com, and he joins Only a Game from time to time to talk pro football. Thanks again, Greg.
Bill, you're welcome.